Today's feast of All Souls, which today being now the Vigil of Sunday in the Catholic tradition, and the Feast of All Saints that was celebrated in connection with November 1st traditionally in the Church, are connected by the same prophet of eternal life. They're connected, but they're different. Yesterday we acknowledged how happy we are that some of our race, the saints, have made it to heaven and received already the promises that Jesus made to us, made to the just, the poor in spirit, that they would have eternal life with him and are with him in fulfillment of that promise. That's who we recognize as the saints. And we venerate the saints because they are already looking upon the face of God for all eternity. We know they are saved. And the Church holds them up as examples for us to follow so that we may also look on the face of God. Now, the November 2nd Feast of All the Faithful Departed, All Souls, is the Church's acknowledgement of human weakness, but also of hope, hope in the resurrection. Since few people achieve perfection in this life, but rather go to the grave, perhaps with they're still scarred with traces of sinfulness, we expect some period of purification that seems to be necessary before a soul comes face to face with God. The Church has long affirmed this. It's been our tradition. It's been our prayer tradition. It's been our spiritual tradition. The Great Council of Trent 500 years ago affirmed this purgatory state and insisted that the prayers of the living can speed the process of purification in preparation to be with God in heaven. Throughout all of Church history, we've acknowledged this ongoing connection between the living in this world and those who no longer live in this world, those who are being purified and those who are already saints. There's one community. The body dies, but we believe in God's mercy. And we accept Jesus' teaching that there will be a time of accountability, testing, and judgment. He says so himself in the Gospels. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the soul into eternal life. This is Catholic teaching. And we acknowledge that not all souls are in heaven, but perhaps neither in hell either. They're in purgatory. Now, you've all heard the argument, it's only about a 500-year-old argument in the Protestant tradition, that purgatory is false because you can't find purgatory in the Bible. Now, here's the problem. The Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek long before the Church used Latin. So when the Bible was written, the word purgatory wasn't being used. But the concept is all throughout the Bible. You can find it over and over again. You can't miss it. At the time of our physical death, we may still be clinging to the world and its pleasures, or we may have not done sufficient penance for our sins on earth. Sincere repentance includes a desire to the repair of the damage done by our sins. And that may or may not be complete by the time we take our last breath. There's still some work to do. And Jesus has said that we will pay the last penny. We will be held accountable. We will pay our debts, and we can pay them now already with penance in this life. And this doesn't mean that we'll necessarily be condemned to hell. That's not the concept. That's a Protestant belief. We have to choose hell We have to choose it by rebelling against God and rejecting God. Rebelling like Adam and Eve. However, there is a hell for those who reject God. Most of us just need to get our souls cleaned up before we are prepared to come face to face with God for all eternity. And it's a choice that we make. Unless we desire to go to heaven more than we desire the pleasures of this world, that's our choice. If we desire the pleasures of this world more than eternal life in heaven with God, well, that's a decision. That's a choice, and we make that decision. And Christians are encouraged to include penance in their life and in their worship here on earth. We have to choose heaven. We have to consciously look at it and make that personal choice in our words and in our deeds and our actions. Today we remember our loved ones who have passed away from earthly life. And we're sad for losing their presence. We've all lost loved ones. And often when someone dies, especially if he or she has suffered much, there's a relief that is natural, as if suffering is over now. And we hope that our loved ones will go to heaven, but perhaps sometimes we put them there before they're there, and instead they need our help. As church tradition teaches us, we should be praying for their eternal salvation and their forgiveness of their sins so that they can get into heaven. We can help them. We help them by paying their debts, paying the debts of others with our own sacrifice and prayers. The church has long taught praying for the departed souls in purgatory. It's an ancient tradition in both Jewish and Christian belief. If you look at 2 Maccabees chapter 12 in the Old Testament, we read of Judas offering expiatory sacrifice for the dead when he told his soldiers to pray and make sacrifice for their dead colleagues that fell in battle and later were found to have amulets, pagan amulets on them. All the ones that fell dead in battle had been doing two religions. And scripture says, in doing this, Judas acted in a very excellent and noble way, inasmuch as he had the resurrection in mind. For if he were not expecting the fallen to rise again, it would have been superfluous and foolish to pray for the dead. Now, your Protestant brothers and sisters may not be familiar with that, because 500 years ago they dropped 7 books from the Old Testament, but it's always been in 2,000 years in the Bible, and Maccabees was one of First and Second Maccabees were two of the books of the Old Testament that were dropped by Martin Luther. In the Book of Wisdom, in our first reading today, we hear, the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed, in view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men indeed they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace, he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings, he took them to himself. We all will be chastised a little. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what happened in purgatory. But then we will be greatly blessed. We're forgiven of our sins, first of all, by our baptism. And later when we fall in confession, and even by receiving Holy Eucharist. We must also do penance for our sins and cancel our debts. Take a good look at yourself. If you're not including penance as part of your worship and devotion, then there's a piece missing. You're going to do the penance. You can start it now if you want. There's a woman who once told me, said, you can do it now, you can do it later. Your choice. But you're going to do it. Penance is part of every confession. Anybody that comes to confession knows that there's a symbolic penance done. It's not to be all the penance we do. It's a symbol. It's recognizing that we have to do penance. And hopefully you do much more than what is given in confession. We cannot earn our way to heaven. Very important concept. But we must seek God's mercy. We have to choose it. If our debts are too great, if we're holding on too much to this world, our pleasures of this world, then we're going to have a problem. But we can still have that hope that God's mercy will prevail. And the love of our loved ones, the prayers of loved ones for the souls in purgatory, helps. When my wife passed away, one of my frequent prayers has been, Lord, if my love for her counts for anything, please let it cancel her debt. That's a constant prayer that I have. It's a prayer of love. It's a prayer of hope. The prayers of the faithful also can't get a person into heaven, but it can help. Only God can get us into heaven, because ultimately it's God that has eternal salvation for us. In purgatory, we come face to face with our debts, our sins, and we experience God's love and mercy. It's been compared by St. Catherine of Genoa as a place of intense love, where God's burning love forces us to make a decision. The world or His love. And ultimately His love wins. But it's an excruciating experience, not in a sense of human pain, but in a sense of will, where we have to make a choice. And as we pray for our brothers and sisters in purgatory, we are joining our love for them to God's love for them. It's an act of love, praying for the souls in purgatory. Purgatory is not hell. Purgatory is not a place of fire and brimstone on the edge of hell. It's not a suburb of hell. Purgatory is this place of divine love, divine judgment. And God's divine love just burns away all that does not love Him. And if we have too much attachment for the things and pleasures of the world, we'll have to confront these and make that choice. And this is an act of love that may not be easy for us at the point of our physical death. If we have penance to do, we're going to have to do this penance, either on earth or in purgatory or both. But we can help do penance for our loved ones in purgatory. And we should all hope that there will be loved ones who will pray for us when we're in purgatory. It's the reason why we have funeral masses, so we pray for our brothers and sisters. As Jesus said in the Gospel, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. Pretty good promise.